And
there we are.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. I hope you have an awesome day. I'm having all kinds of issues today, but I'm awake and I'm here and it's exciting. And now it's time to do a countdown without Trey. Okay. Hi, guys. Only if I can't try. Bigger when the night was. Now I gotta find my. I found my light trying. Now I gotta do it all. Did you understand what I'm saying? I gotta feel the ball. Now I gotta feel the call. Did you get me right down? I know that right now is amazing when I gotta fight now. I fight how when I'm bound like a brown cow. Do what I am doing because I'm doing it right now. Yes, I rap because I react in my nighttime. You want my beats and now I gotta find my. I define all the rhymes that make me be. Did you understand what I'm doing? I might have to pee, make me to the restroom, but now I rest boom. Did you understand what I came not to ever do? I gotta be in your avenue and then I go. Now you want me rapping like I'm thinking if I never know. Ooh, ooh. What am I doing taking photos? Ooh, ooh. I'm looking back like I don't know. Ooh, ooh. And now you gotta be only if you're only bigger and you're waiting, G. I gotta do it wrong to find my light and my time, but now I'm rapping cause my time ain't defined, but now I'm rhyming. Did you understand me? You want it gone, I'll be farm like the Fendi. Eat my candy like I gotta be. Only if you knew what I was doing, I could never see. Now I gotta run in your whole life and your fallacy. You don't even get me when you're rocking cause you win your jelly bee. Hey, what am I saying if I never go? But now I'm rapping, yo, looking like I'm out of control. I gotta feel it, bro. Now you gotta say it, no. Now I gotta know it, no. Did you know I never know? I'm all getting back for this time. And then I'm rapping cause I'm like, they're my mind. You want me, y'all, but I gotta have a fine. And now I'm tripping cause I'm giving what I'm doing,
Are you looking for a different kind of podcast? How about informative and clean? It will make you laugh. Scout and Trey, yeah, that's what we do. We got a little funny thing, keeping it true. Hey, we take your topics and all your ideas and bring in a guest and we answer them there. Then we make a freestyle rap and do it for you. Yeah, that's what we do. Yeah, that's what we do. Yep. Flows for you, flows for you. This is what we do now. This is what we do. Say flows for you, flows for you. This is what we do now. This is what we do. Say flows for you, flows for you. This is what we do now. This is what we do. Say flows.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, man. How's it going?
I'm good. Having all kinds of difficulties, but I'm awake. I'm alive. It's nice to see you. This is a fun day. I'm just glad to be here. I'm glad to have you. I know it's like 11 o'clock at night for you, but I really appreciate you being awake. I assume that you are not an early sleeper anyway.
No, this is midday for me. Like, yeah. 90% of my friends and audience are American. So, like, I go to bed around about 4 in the morning. So I'm just like work through the night because it's quieter.
That's funny. Yeah, this is the reason why your other thing worked out. It makes a lot more sense now. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So now it is that time. Let me pop over there. The joys of being the producer at the moment is that I have to have everything ready. And it's time for Headlines of the Week! All right, so this is where you actually tell me your headline. I'll start with mine. I got a man is a 2-year-old home alone, her own father.
Oh, that's interesting. Have you stepped on any rakes recently?
I'll have to tell you the story in a second. What is your headline?
My headline is local man gets master's degree in writing clever stuff, finds out only dumb stuff sells.
Nice. All right, so... So a few days ago, I was taking care of, I was putting up some shelves, cleaning out my garage, moving things around, and I was sitting there working on the garage, and I saw my daughter, who's 2, take a rake and move it somewhere, and I was like, I don't think a 2-year-old can hurt herself with a rake. And so then I go in, she won't let me leave, so I have to set up the the shelf that I'm making in a room because she won't let me leave because she wants me to play store. So she's like having me buy stuff, and I have a TV on. So we're watching like Cat Patrol or something, and she's trying to make me buy stuff. I'm putting together the shelf. Everything's going well. And then I grab the I'm like, sweet, I finished the shelf, finished the shopping. Everybody was happy. Then I take the shelf and I walk outside. Now, at this point, obviously, I'm barefooted because I came back in the house to chill. I'm walking outside, I open the door, and I step out, and then I just immediately fall and smash into this shelf I just built. Watch it slash my wrist. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's the cut that goes to the actual part that is like this much skin just off my hand, and watch that, then see blood squirting out, and then I'm like, oh, I need to get up. So I go to get up, and my foot is like stuck, and I don't know what it's stuck to. And then I realize, I tug it one more time, and something pops out of it, and I realize I had stepped on a rake. My daughter had put the rake at the front door like she was in Home Alone setting up a trap for me. And I just walk out onto the rake. Now the other problem here is the way that my screen door works, it actually is stopping the rake from moving. So it's so there's no way for the rake to even hit me. Instead, it's just stuck there. So it has to impale me no matter what. I ended up having 3 puncture wounds in my foot, and blood. Now the worst part about this is that my blood is squirting out of my body as my heart pumps, right? And so it's just like all over my front porch, all over my car, and then my phone is in the garage because I was cleaning my garage. So now I have to walk in my garage, it's just squirting blood everywhere. and then I finally get the phone, I call my wife, and I'm like, yo, what's up? And she comes and everything happens. But then I get, at least I found like a cardigan on the ground, and I wrap my wrist, and then I walk back in, or hobble back in, because, you know, my foot. And I lay on the couch, and I'm like, the only thing here that was a godsend, right, is that my kids, let me fix my voice a little more. My kids, that they weren't there. They were there, but they didn't know it happened, which was good because way more complicated to explain that daddy's okay, blood is squirting out of his body.
You don't want to say to him, oh, this is perfectly normal, and then 20 years later that happens to them and they go, this is fine. Dad said it's gonna be fine.
So my son then comes in and he goes, daddy, I'm hungry, and I'm sitting on the couch chilling, trying to figure out what I'm gonna say to him. And he comes in like, daddy, I'm hungry, and I'm like, sorry buddy, we're not gonna be eating because daddy is gonna have to go to the hospital. And he's like, wait, what? And I'm like, yeah, you can go look outside. And he goes outside and he looks, and he goes, daddy, it looks like somebody died out here. Where's the yellow tape? And I start laughing, and then I wait for the thing, and then we spend like 5 hours in the ER, and I get 15 stitches, and I'm all bandaged up and not using my foot and hobbling around the house. It's not awesome, and I'm just like worried that my foot's gonna rot off or something. I'm just like, please don't let anything else happen. And this is a week removed from when I had a head-on collision, and just found out today that my car was totaled out, so I have to like buy a new car. So that's fun. Oh. And so it's just been a insane few weeks for me. So there you go. There's my headline. But yeah, it was very funny that my daughter tried to home alone me.
She did a good job of it.
I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, you can't
fault her on that. That was pretty effective.
You watch the movies and you think, ow, that would hurt if a nail goes through your foot. But when it actually happens to you, you go, wow, that really, really hurt. Like you don't think about, like, you see them later in the next scene, but you don't see them spending all their time in the ER or getting their stitches or all the things that it's going to take for them to actually walk again. There's no rehab. There's no Home Alone rehab movie where it's just like the guy trying to get himself together so for the next time. And, you know, that would make a real reason for a sequel, right?
Yeah, to be honest, as soon as you said that, I thought Netflix is going to get wind of this. They're going to do like a Between the Movies movie.
Yeah.
It's like talking about the medical scandal behind Home Alone.
Yeah, the amount of money that goes to the yeah, and it's in New York too. So just imagine. Oh no, it's Chicago first, right? It's New York the second.
Yeah.
Time. Yeah. So, but yeah, just imagine how that how much that actually cost. But you know, that would make more sense for a revenge film because you know it's like you cost me my job, my $10,000 worth of insurance bills, and then you also, you know, it also took me 6 months to walk again. You know, I'm just saying. So there you go. What is your headline of the week?
So my headline is quite a long-winded one. It's local man takes master's degree in writing clever stuff, discovers suddenly that clever stuff doesn't sell and dumb stuff sells instead. So I've had like quite a weird adventure as an artist. I started writing when I was about 5 years old. I'm now a bit older than five, so I've been doing it a while. but like I took a bachelor's degree and then a master's degree in creative writing because, well, I used to work in retail and I was sick of it. And I thought, you know what? Student loans are a good way out of this.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I didn't have the grades for it because I kind of just messed around in college. So I actually had to go in and speak to one of the tutors and just kind of argue my case. And they said, have you done much writing in the past? Because even though it's an arts degree, they want to make sure you're not just thinking this is going to be an easy ride. Because those people, they come in for 6 weeks, they disrupt stuff, and then they leave. So I was like, right, I'll have to go and prove myself. So I took like a book I'd written and some poems. And by some poems, I mean like 300 pages, slammed it down on the table. And she was like, okay, you're in. And I went, you've not even read it. And she went, if that's all your stuff, you'll be fine. So they just want to make sure that you already like writing, because a lot of people don't. I felt quite alone as a writer for a long while until I met like my recent friends, because like you get a social media as a writer and you notice that a lot of other writers tend to just complain about it, and I just think, you know, other hobbies are available. Like this, people post memes going, oh, it's like with a smiley face. Me before I write the book, and then a sad face. Me while I'm writing the book. And I thought, well, if you don't like writing books, why don't you join a chess club or learn to knit? You know, I write books because I enjoy it. I don't write it because it's a form of torture. Do you know what I mean? It's such a strange thing. But anyway, I ran writing this big, quite big book, like 324 pages about like sci-fi, comedy, kind of dark comedy. So I'm not going to be able to show any of it today. This trigger warning, it gets pretty fruity. It says like dark comedy about alien abductions and stuff, and then some serious existentialist sci-fi, and it gets quite clever. And you can even read the chapters in any order, and it's like even structurally you can, someone called it ADHD friendly science fiction, because if you get bored of one story you just jump to the next one and it still makes sense. And I was like, that's a fantastic review. I wish he hadn't have just said that to me in a voice message. Like, put that in a newspaper.
Write that up? Yeah.
Yeah, please write it down. Please. I need it. I need it for adverts. I mean, I've just found out today you're not allowed to use Amazon reviews in adverts, which means I'm breaking the rules. And I shall continue to do so.
That's so funny.
They're good reviews. I'm going to use them. I need them. Yeah. But the policy behind it is like they might change their mind, like the reviewers might go back in and change the review later in time. And I'm like, they shouldn't be allowed to do that in the first place. I've read this book a second time. I've decided I hate it now. It's such a weird thing. But yeah, I had, you know, lots of different attempts to get like noticed as a writer. So I have like Real Philip Carter is where I do most of my stuff, but I'm also Lego artist, so I've done stuff under the pen name Grumble Bricks, and the only reason I had that second pen name is because the way social media is, the algorithm isn't as smart as your audience. Your audience might like everything you do, but if you post everything on one account, it just gets engagement drops. So like, if I posted a picture of Lego on my writing account, everybody would go. Anyway, I posted a video the other day of me holding up a chicken burger and telling people that I was about to watch the third Lego Bionicle movie. That's all the video was.
Yeah,
just held up the chicken burger. Yeah. At the moment, it has 20,795 likes. It's been up for 2 days. I just don't understand. I could spend hours designing a post about my book, and it's all shiny, and it moves, and it's got like nebulas and planets and stuff spinning around. One like. But the chicken burger... I've been outdone by a chicken burger.
So I you know, I was thinking about this. I understand what happens. I look at it and I saw the chicken burger, and then I saw something in the back, and it said Bionicle, so I kind of knew what it was going to be. But for some reason, I still clicked it to figure out what was behind the screen. And so it was like, though I knew what it was, I still had to double click it. So maybe that's what's happening. Everybody's like, what is he talking about? Like, what is he watching? Like, I don't understand what's happening.
That's a good point, actually, because my camera at the moment is on the way out. I've just got a new phone. I've not transferred over to it yet. It's right here, actually. I've set this up soon.
Ooh.
Shiny. That's like an investment in myself. Because I'm apparently all right at doing TikToks, but every time I do a TikTok on this thing, I burn my hand. Because it's just
so hot,
doesn't like it. It's this whatever ancient magic they use to create TikTok just gets really angry with me.
No, I don't want that. That's hilarious. Yeah. It's like you make all this content, and then it's like you eating a chicken burger, watching Bionicles is like everybody's favorite thing. I told you this already. You just need to stick with that, and just next time put your book in your hand and go, now it's time for a chicken burger, and just have a video of the chicken burger in the background and see, and then just try variations of that.
Yeah, and I could make it, you know what, actually, to be honest, I could, I've got a copy. What I could do is I could make a book burger. I could put a bun on either side of this.
Do it.
I've got about 40 in stock at the moment, and I'll happily admit I'm going to do a bit of a thing in a few weeks where I'm like, if I don't sell all the signed copies by September, I'm going to burn them. And I will. I will do that. Because they've been here for a year, and I can always get more.
Well, I understand. What is it? I have a friend who came down for a conference like so many years ago, and he was from a different country. So he got all those CDs shipped to the States, but he couldn't ship them back. So I ended up taking like 1,500 of his CDs, and I just moved into a house, and I literally bumped into them again, and I was like, it's 1,500 CDs just sitting here. I was like, what do I do with this? Like, I don't even.
How long have you had them for?
11 years.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, what do I do? I just can't.
You're still friends with him?
Yeah. But he lives in Trinidad, Tobago. And so it's not like, and I once tried to sell some, but it just didn't happen. And then there was a part of me when you could still trade in CDs, I considered if I just go to every single store and just rotate and just keep on going until they are totally packed out of that CD, then I can move on.
Yeah. I mean, I've got, there's a few copies of my book in America at the moment. Cause I've got a friend who used to work on like the car, you know, car shows when they like fix up a celebrity's car and stuff.
Yeah.
And he said, like, he knew a few people that like worked at Netflix and stuff. And he's like, your book's really good. I want to try and like just basically throw it at someone. And I was like, yeah, feel free. Like, so I printed them for him. So there's a few over there. But yeah, it's a really interesting thing. Cause they just kind of linger. Because a lot of people, like, they'll buy, if they do buy the CD or if they do buy the book, they're not necessarily buying it to support you as a person. They're buying it because they think they'll like it. They know they'll like it because they've already seen a bit of it. But then life gets in the way. So I found, like, a lot of my reviews came in a year after my book was published. And that's, you know, that is a product of the fact that it takes about that long to read it. so, like, you know, I'm not going to be mad about that. Some people have read it twice, three times over because they've liked it that much. So they take a while to get the reviews in. But they're good reviews when they come in, so it's worth the wait. But yeah, I would, like, if I had that many CDs from my friend, honestly, I'd just give them away to anybody that looks cool.
Dude, I've given away. Now, let me explain. That's what I have left. But I've given away. like I do tons of shows. So one of my favorite shows I do every year, where it's a 4-hour freestyle where I'm just doing musical chairs for a Christmas party. And so it's like me making up a song for 4 hours. And so every year I give it about like 25 of those CDs out in my thing. But yeah, no, you can only give out so many CDs at that point. And though he's very good at this point, he's already released like 3 other albums since then. So it's just so funny. It's like,
you should make an eBay listing for it and say like his first album, the last one left. And as soon as it sells, list it again.
I have an eBay store where I sell, vintage toys. Oh, hello.
Me too.
My son's here. Hi. What's up, buddy?
I'm glad you said that. I just thought you had one very small hand.
Yeah. That doesn't work on my complexion. It's like so much wider than me. Yeah, no, it's just like he's just walking around like he's funny because it's his birthday today. But since Dad can't move, Mom took him out to do fun things. So
yeah, and you know, sister's already had, you know, impale Dad with a rake. So like, yeah.
All right, he stole my drink and now he's walking off.
You know what's really weird? I don't have any kids, but my cat does that. Like, if you leave a cup, it'll bite the edge of the cup and it'll just walk backwards away with it.
You're like an evil cat.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this to me?
They don't drink out of water bottles. They actually, like, demand to use cups like people, and they just sit on the floor drinking out of cups.
You know,
very weird.
My wife was telling her today, I was like, oh, you know what? You can go to, like, a cat cafe or one of those cat immersion places where you just get to sit in a room with like 50 kittens. And she's like, dude, I thought you disliked cats very much. And I definitely dislike cats because they have no heart and they are mean and don't love you. And they'll suck your soul out of your body if they have a chance, is my opinion. Cause it's funny. But in general, no, I like cats. They're cool. And I'm all about being covered in kittens. That sounds awesome. Who wouldn't want that?
It's really interesting when like the bit gets carried away from your actual character, isn't it?
She's like, you hate cats, and I'm like, no, it's a bit I do on the show where I think it's funny. But I don't actually. I mean, I don't. Now the thing is, I don't want like pets, like because I just don't want to clean up after pets. Like,
yeah,
like, I just, you know, I have enough problems with a 2-year-old. Cleaning up her poop, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to have to follow a cat or a dog around. You know, it's just that simple. So it's one of those things where it's like, I'm just not going to make it happen. But she was like, oh, well, so you like cats now? I'm like, no, I like the idea of being immersed in kittens. Like, who wouldn't be down? Same with puppies.
Nah, she's got you there.
Yeah, I lost. I lost the battle.
Yeah, you've lost that one.
Yeah, I should have stuck to my high ground of my joke.
What you should have done is you should like do a bit of psychology and you go, yeah, I do like cats. We should get one right now. And then you find the biggest, meanest cat in the shelter and you go, I want that one. And then she'll turn around, she'll go, wait, that one's evil. That was
no, this
that one's got a gun.
The problem with this bit is that you think that would work, but the problem is I have a 2-year-old who all she dreams about is cats and dogs. A 6-year-old now that would cry his brains out if they saw an animal in my hands and then I let them go. So no, I know better than to do that. Though it would be funny, I would end up with a cat and an evil cat at that. And you would just see me die on stream as I'm doing this. As I'm doing the show, I'm like, yes. And so I see you have Legos back there. I was like, cat in my face. I wish I had a cat here to make the bit work, but I don't. So
nah, it works. you're not in fighting shape at the moment. Anyway, you'd lose to the cat. So
I would definitely lose. Where's the adorable? Oh, here he is. Oh, here he comes. Oh yeah, ready for this?
That's a safe one.
He's a robot cat, and he walks around. You know, like situation.
Yeah, so that's the cleanest type of cat.
Yeah, robot cats.
Yeah, mine are just goblins. One of mine, when we lived in a different house near some woods, she would bring moths into the house in her mouth. No, she wouldn't kill them. She'd bring them in live, and then just she'd meow, and they'd just come out. And they just look. There's
like
one
like,
she came
up like she's a mouse travel carrier.
Yeah, once she like come up to me and she's like, I was like lying in bed and she went meow. And she's like this massive moth. Like I don't know how it fit in there.
That's
just
hilarious.
It affixed itself to me.
Oh wait, there's a moth or a mouse?
A moth.
So it flew out of her mouth?
Yeah, about that big.
That's a nightmare.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I really like moths, but you don't expect them to come out of a cat's mouth.
No.
So you don't get like. It got me. There was once I was like 10 minutes walk away from my house and my mum called me and she went, can you come back home? I said, what is it? And she went, I think it might be a bat. But it was actually, it was like a moth that was so big they thought it was a bat. It was huge. And it was like, it wasn't flying properly because obviously the cat couldn't fit it properly in her mouth. She had to fold it up a bit. So it was just slamming against the wall as it was going. So as it was flying past me, it was going. It was so big. But we don't get them anymore, sadly. She just brings worms in now whenever it rains.
Yeah, my son's like, hey, Daddy, you know what's scary? Flying cockroaches. And I'm like, yes.
That does sound scary. I mean, I've held a cockroach before. I thought it was quite cute. Have you
ever seen a flying one?
No, I've only held the ones that scream at you. I didn't expect that.
In Texas, you can get one that's like this big.
Wow.
Where I live. And that bad boy flying is just not a thing that you want in your life. It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
A nightmare. Now, I guess we should move on to other stuff. Speaking of, got a fly flying around, but I can't chase it. Like, I'll just flump out of the chair and then just have to do the show from on the ground.
Yeah.
Just yell at the microphone, be like, hello, hello. But we're not going to do the quiz today because, well, you know, there's nobody to do the quiz with. And we just spent an extra 15 minutes on a random cat story. And all that stuff. So
that works.
You know, the best part when things don't work out the way you expect it is that you still have fun.
Oh, well, I've got a fly as well. I've just spotted a fly on my webcam.
It's the same
fly. God, it flies pretty quick, doesn't it?
He flew through my webcam to your webcam. This is like an internet. This dude's warping from one place to another.
The Wi-Fi fly.
Don't you try to deny.
Oh my god, it's gone up another 10 followers. I just don't understand why people are following me for a burger.
The best part is you're getting follows, like, it's not even like just likes.
People like 500 in 2 days.
This guy's content is blazing. Maybe it's just people that love chicken burgers and Bionicles. So,
yeah,
you're gonna have to do some tests here. You got to do works, then just run all your bits through a burger in a video and just, you know, figure it out. You know,
100%. It works for chocolate cake. I did one with a slice of chocolate cake and a Bionicle display case. I mean, at the end of the day, I've got the tone of voice where I'm being slightly sarcastic about it. So I am doing a bit, and people know it's a bit. I like to hope they know it's. Most people know it's a bit.
Well, see, now you're just gonna have to become a chicken burger reviewer.
Would be fantastic.
But then just add in your bits. So you're like. So I went over to Tito's chicken sandwiches. I'm gonna enjoy this. But while I was there, I got taken up by aliens. But I'm back, and so now you get to tell you about the burger. And it's pretty much that's it. You throw your bit in, review the burger, move on. It's normal.
Yeah, it's such a weird evolution for my life because I'm
doing a live show. I can't leave. I'm talking to a person on the screen. Where are you? Bro, I know. I'll talk. You got like another few minutes here, and then I'll come hang out with you, okay?
Oh.
I actually won't. I have a meeting. But in a little bit longer.
Oh, that was like 5 seconds of hope.
I know. It was really nice and sweet. And then I realized, wait, I'm lying right now.
Yeah.
But you're totally right. Like, it's so crazy how it works.
I mean, as long as I'm happy, as long as I get to like have my sense of humor in it. If I had to pretend to be somebody else, like, and it was that content that got successful, I don't think I'd be happy with it. But because I get to be myself, I'm like, yay, woo! Yeah. But I've got a friend who does like, she reviews like stage plays and theater stuff and the odd movie. And like, we got together, hung out for a bit, and we reviewed one play on the radio, and then the Playhouse messaged us and said, do you want to come and watch another one for free? And I just like basically overnight became a reviewer of stuff. And then again, basically overnight, I've become a reviewer of chicken burgers. And then at another time, somebody needed a host for a comedy night. And I just so happened to be there. And I said, I'll do it. And I'd never hosted anything before. And apparently I did an all right job because they wanted me back on the next month. So it's like, everything for me at the moment seems to be just kind of happening.
Yeah, that's how my life
Which is
works.
The best way. Because I've just like thought, I'm not going to do the cold calculated thing where I'm like, my book is going to come out on this date. No, I'm just going to tell people, there's going to be a book eventually. it'll show up. Don't wait for it. It'll happen. And I think people, like, they respect that more in a weird way, because I've got that energy about me where they're like, nobody knows what to expect. It's like, is he going to do a joke, or is he going to launch a book, or has he built a castle out of Lego? Nobody really knows. Is it all free?
That's hilarious. It's so funny. I guess we'll just move to that part of it. So when I asked you to be on the show, I said, hey, what can we do for a better year? And you said, show people how to be more weird. And I think what we're already explaining how you can do that is just be yourself. And but why do you think people need to be more weird for a better year?
I think it's like one of those root cause kind of things. I don't want to sound like an armchair philosopher, but I think a lot of the time when people have an issue in the world, they can make themselves better at dealing with it, like, privately. So there is things you can do. Like, I, as an example, some of the best writers I know think they're terrible, and that's their fault. You know, they can fix that. I believe in them to fix that. Like, at some point, it wasn't their fault. Maybe they had a horrible parent that told them they were terrible at what they were doing. I've been there. I got past it. You can get past it. And the trick to it is, you know, when people say, don't worry, like, don't worry about going on stage. Do worry. If it makes you feel better, go for it. But just accept the fact that if you do worry or you don't worry, it doesn't make a difference. Your performance is still going to be good. And that's like what people need to see through is, like, you have these rituals of, you know, some people, I know, like, comedians, a lot of comedians, it's a bit of an issue where people will have a drink before they go on stage. And then you run the risk of relying on that for your liquid confidence. So I actually, like, I like a cocktail every now and again, but whenever I'm about to do a bit of stand-up, I will not drink. I'll have a drink afterwards as a treat, provided I think I've done good. Sure. which isn't all the time. Sometimes I don't get a treat. You know? And that works for me. You just gotta, like, find your own way. I think one of the weird things is, like, these gurus which just say, like, oh, if you want to sell 10,000 books in a week, join my class. It's $500 and you join it, it doesn't tell you anything. There was one I went to years ago, and it was this guy telling people how to sell books, apparently. And we all got to meet him in person, and he sat next to me, and somebody said, how did you get so many downloads of your fantasy novel when it first came out on the first day? And he went, oh, well, I was in my villa in Spain at the time. And then he spent the next hour talking about the villa. He didn't mention how he sold his books. And I was just like, I've paid 30 quid to sit next to this guy, and I have no idea what he's talking about. I don't know what's going on. But yeah, like, to be more weird is just accept that you're weird already. Like, you are just, everybody's a bit weird, and that's fine. I think my issue personally as, like, a writer is I pretended to be normal. So I wanted to come across as this, like, dead, like, straight, not deadpan, not funny, just science fiction author, serious sci-fi author. That's what I was going to play. I was going to play as that. And I wrote a book that's 50% comedy by accident. And I thought, oh, okay. So, like, people, like, would buy that and they'd say, oh, I didn't know there was comedy in this. And I thought, I've marketed this terribly. I need to sort that out. So now I've just kind of, like, accepted that. Like, my recent, like, Instagram post on my writing account was, do you want a horror story or a comedy story? Doesn't matter. I've got both. You know, because I'm just like, I'm just going to have to lean into it, because I can't class myself as a horror author because I don't read enough of it, I don't think. In the same way, you can't class yourself as a smoker if you only smoke when you're at somebody else's wedding. Doesn't happen that often. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, so I think, like, sci-fi comedy author, the labels are difficult with the, like, finding out who you want to be. I know a lot of, like, younger people, they'll stick labels to themselves. Like, I've wondered if I'm autistic or if I might have ADHD, and I talked to a doctor about it, and he said a diagnosis would take about 6 years. And I turned to him and I said, but I might be a different man by then. And he looked at me and he went, okay, Philip. It was like very disappointed voice, like, no, you're not going to shapeshift. You're certainly not going to unautism yourself. And I just thought, at the time, I was only wondering if I had those things as part of, like, a deeper existential crisis. And now I just don't care. I don't need to know. Doesn't matter. It may, you know, I might find out, oh, maybe this affected my ability to find work earlier in life. Maybe this affected that. Maybe it's affected relationships. Blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, I could just for me at least, I can chart that down to, oh, my personality, I like this, I like that, I like these systems and these patterns, I don't like these things. And I don't know what causes it, I just know that's my hardware, and I work alongside it. Like, I'm nocturnal. I write the most and the best between 2 and 4 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And that is always the case, regardless of how much sleep I've had, regardless of whether I've slept the night before or not. You know, it doesn't matter. At 2 a.m. I wake up and I'm like, I have an idea. I'm going to write a new book. And everybody's like, no, finish the last one.
Yeah,
finish
yeah.
the last one. I'm like, no, I'm going to do another one. More books, more jokes, and a video about burgers. And what about cake? And then I've got like a private group chat of like my beta readers, and they go, you told us you were writing a poetry book last week. Did you forget about that? And I'll go, I did. I forgot about it, but it's done.
I already finished it. I was moving on to the next one.
Yeah, that genuinely happened the other week. Somebody messaged me and they're like, when did that, what happened to that short story collection you were writing at uni? And I was like, oh my God. And I like searched its name up on my computer and it came up and I'd not looked at it since 2018. And it's finished. It's ready to go. And I had no idea about it.
This is your cat finishing everything for you.
I was like, where's it got? Like, I just completely forgot about it.
That's hilarious.
That's the thing, like that's why I say to people, like, write more weird, be more weird, is that you limit yourself. And social media doesn't help, because, like, I mentioned it briefly before, but I've got a separate Lego account. So I've got Grumble Bricks, and I've got Real Philip Carter, where I do writing. And whilst I do know about 20, 30 people that like both, the issue is that whether somebody likes both or not, they're going to be smarter than the algorithm. And the algorithm of Instagram is basically like, if you keep posting the same stuff, then it goes, well done, you're boring, here's some engagement. Whereas if I suddenly veer off and go, hey guys, I wrote a poem, or oh, I've painted a picture, then it's going to go, oh, I'm confused. Down goes the engagement, and then nobody sees your stuff ever again. So that's, I think that affects people, like, psychologically, because you think, I can't be as multifaceted as I could otherwise. Because when you go out in person, you can be sensitive, funny, stubborn, whatever, but when it's on social media, you kind of get confined into a character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, because it's like a good example, there's this guy, his name's Harry Mack, and he's like really popular guy that does freestyles, and he'll just like go on Omegle or other things like that, and he'll like, or I'll be on the side of the street and like ask people for words and freestyle. Now, I've been doing this for 25 years, which is before him, but I never considered recording it. Like, I'll be at a restaurant or something, and I'll be like a Chipotle, and I'll be like, hey, give me some words, or I'll just be like, order my food that way. And then I always get like half free food. But, you know, but I've been doing that forever. And so I never considered, oh, I should just record that, and then I'll just be known as that guy. But at the same time, I like doing tons of things. So it's like, I don't want to overdo it. But, you know, it's like, you know, once you find something, you have to stick with it. When it comes to social media, like, it's like, you know, I said, I've had friends that like did a thing and then were like, oh, I have 100,000 followers, but I don't want to be this person anymore. So by 100,000 followers, I don't care, because I just want to go do something else.
Yeah.
Well, then there's other people that are just like, oh, no, this is my new personality. Like, I live this life. And it's crazy. But, yeah, that's the idea of being weird. It's like, you know, you should be able to just kind of move as you want. And that's cool that you have two different things. And, like was the Lego stuff before writing, or was it kind of like, or has Lego stuff always been a thing for you?
Yeah, I think I got my first Lego set when I was like 4.5 years old. And I wrote my first story about a year after that.
Oh, okay.
And it was heavily inspired by Lego stuff. I used to design like RPG games on pieces of paper. Right. So we didn't have a family computer at the time, but I knew that video games existed from my friends, and I wanted to make some. So I drew like top down adventure games and like platformers. Like, I went to my friend's house and he had Mario 64.
Yep.
So I redesigned that, but for Lego. And then like 15 years later, I get this degree and there's a game design module, and I basically remake that in a very different way. I do like a top-down RPG, and it's got comedy in it, and it's got technology in it, and it's got, obviously, it's got writing in it. There's a lot of jokes in the game. I won't mention what it's called, but I'm working on bringing it back from the concept grave at the moment. I've not touched it for a few years. But yeah, so the Lego came first, but not by much.
Well,
and then the writing took over. But I remember when I was a kid, I told my mum this the other day, and she was like, "Yeah, your imagination." She actually said to me, "I know why your head's so big now." Because
I like how you're like, and the writing took over, yet your entire room is Legos.
Yeah.
You're like, the writing took over my life, kind of.
I mean, to be fair, most of the writing I've done is in this computer right now. Like, and in like, in these as well, I've got like, that's 256 GB of storage, which can hold about 1 million Word documents. So luckily I've not filled that up quite yet. But it's got time left. But yeah, my mum said to me the other day, she was like, "I see why your head's so big." And she said that because I turned to her and I went, "You know, when I was a kid and we'd have like Christmas dinner and stuff, and you always said to me that I seemed like I was thinking about other things and I wasn't really paying attention." She said, "Yeah." I went, "That's because when I was in my bedroom, I'd play with my Lego minifigures. So I'd have the two Lego minifigures and like, you know, the spaceman would, you know, David Bowie would meet the space. This is my David Bowie minifigure.
Nice.
And he'd meet Benny the spaceman. And they talk, and you know, they go, right, I've got some energy crystals, you've got a time machine, let's trade technologies, we'll hang out, all of that. And I'd have this dialogue, they'd like this massive sci-fi drama in my head. And then most kids, when they go downstairs, that sci-fi drama stays in their bedroom. It followed me downstairs. I would ignore anything that anyone was saying to me. It would just keep going. Go into the bath, go to the toilet, go to school, come back from school. And time would have passed in the story. So when I get back, I'd play with the Lego, but they'd all be in the wrong position because they'd moved in my imagination. So I had to move them to catch up. And I told my mum this, and she went, "That's why your head's so big. Like, you've just got a whole universe in there." And I was like, "Yeah, there's a lot of pressure building up."
Yeah,
no. One day she'll just hear a pop and she'll know it's finally over.
That's hilarious. No, I do that. Like, I'll have like full 2-3 hour movie dreams where it's like my dream is literally like a full movie, and I'll wake up and I'm like, "Oh, I need to write all this down because I just literally just made a movie in my head." Like,
yeah,
it was crazy cool. It was like some weird thing that never existed, but it was just a random dream I had. But
yeah, I love stuff like that.
My son works that way too. Like, we'll be like, he'll just be talking about the thing that he invented for the next 6 hours, and then it's like, come back and he's like, "It moved," and I'm like, what are you talking about, dude? Like, I don't even understand. And I said, this is coming from a very creative person, but it's so funny. It's just like how the brain works. And so that's pretty cool that, like, yeah, they were very close, and it's obviously something you do for fun, I guess, Lego stuff.
I think it's the reason I stay creative as well. When I do teaching, I claim it's the reason I stay creative because I believe it would work for normal people. I know it works for some people. It works for memory loss, even. Helps people rebuild their brains after they've had like traumatic brain injuries and stuff like that. But it's like I don't get writing block.
Yeah.
I've never got it. I actually know that's a lie. I had it once, but I was on very powerful migraine medication. I took one tablet, and I sat down at my computer and I couldn't come up with any ideas. And I thought, I don't want to live like this. I'd rather have the pain. I want the pain back. Bring the pain back, Doc. I need it. I'm a poet. I need the pain. I need stuff to complain about. You know, that's how poets work.
That's so funny.
But yeah, about bits, that's my bit when I'm on stage, is I just go on about how much I can't stand poets. And then someone come up to me once and they went, "Is that true?" And I said, "I've spent £10 to get to this poetry gig. Do you really think it's true?" like, it is a bit.
Yeah.
Because I'm satirizing how, like, over here, I don't know what it's like in America, but over here in, like, the poetry scene, sometimes people get very competitive. And I just started doing a parody of that. So, like, I'd get to the end of my bit on stage and I'd realize I'd run out of time. And if somebody else was about to come on stage, I'd go, "I'm not done yet." Just, like, be really angry. But everybody that knows me finds it funny. Maybe the occasional stranger is slightly intimidated. But
that's so funny. Like, but it's funny to have bits and to run those things and to do all those things. Like, yeah, I'm with you. I always have certain things. It was like, even when I was in the ER, I slowly turned the Home Alone thing. Like, it at first wasn't Home Alone. It was I stepped on a rake. But then it was, as I saw people reacted, then it became a bit. It was like, oh, Home Alone. And then, you know, it only worked for people my age. Like, you'd say that to, like, a 20-year-old. They look at me like, what do you mean? Did you go home?
Yeah, yeah, they just,
and I'm like, no, Macaulay Culkin, let's go, yeah. Get it, come on.
Yeah, you just like really, like you. The doctor asks you what happened. He goes, well, I really annoyed Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, and then they laugh. And like my doctors both thought that was a stir. Like to the point that a random doctor came in and said, hey, I heard you got home alone. I just wanted to see it. And I was like, yeah, this bit worked. It was a funny bit.
That is a good bit. Yeah, you need to keep that.
Yeah, well, I don't want it to happen again. Like that's not something I ever want to happen.
Well, that's the thing is, if you keep it and you remember it, the universe won't have to remind you.
Oh yeah, that's fair. So is the book that you just did, the one you were talking about, the dark sci-fi comedy, is that your one you're really focusing on now, or do you have a new one that you want to tell people about?
Well, Who Built the Humans, this hefty beast, is available on Amazon in this size paperback. I'm going to reformat it for other retailers soon because it's this is like you can bludgeon someone with this.
Yeah.
I know someone that used it as a doorstop. I'm not offended. It worked. It's really good as a doorstop. It's actually, ironically enough, cheaper than some doorstops on Amazon.
Fair.
Which I was like,
please
crying.
Pick it up as a doorstop. Or
crying
a
laughing
sandwich.
The other day. I was like, this is more effective and cheaper. But yeah, Who Built the Humans? Got 47 stories in it, which you can read in any order and it still makes sense somehow. Kind of a build your own adventure. So there's like existentially sci-fi about aliens and simulation theory, and then all of a sudden poo jokes, and then back to simulation theory, and that's, you know, it's a weird formula, but I've found it's a winning formula because I get really nice reviews for it. Obviously, you're not going to have a massive audience with stuff that weird, but whenever I do find an audience member, like somebody that's read it and they like it, they message me and tell me, and that is so rare as a writer. Because if you write the more commercial stuff, your readers will just read it and then put it away and forget about it.
Yeah.
But like, if I've left an impact on just one person, I've done something pretty cool here. People liked it enough that I've been convinced to write Who Built the Humans 2. But what they don't know is that I'd already written quite a bit of it before I published Who Built the Humans 1.
They don't need to know that. Come on.
I'm happy for them to find out now. Because there's that weird angle of like, if your readers feel like they actually did press you into writing a book, they'll probably think it's not going to be very good.
Yeah.
Like how J.K. Rowling was kind of pushed into writing the fourth Harry Potter book by her publisher. I mean, it's still good, apparently. I've not read any of them, but she personally didn't really want to do it.
Well, it worked out for her.
Yeah, it worked out. All right. I've heard she's doing okay.
Yeah.
It's just so funny, like, just considering that, like, she's such an anomaly amongst writers. But so there's going to be a Who Built the Humans 2. The pre-orders actually launch on my 31st birthday, which is on the 9th of August. So by the time this comes out, probably.
Oh, no, it's already out. We're doing it live right now in front of
people. I thought we were doing it live and then you'd like broadcast it elsewhere afterwards as well.
Yeah, and it'll be out. It'll actually be put it out tomorrow.
So, oh, sweet, sweet.
I don't really edit much. I just do it.
No, I respect that. I do the same with my podcast because you get funnier stuff out of people. I
used to spend 5 hours editing this stupid thing before we started going live. And then once we were live, then it's like it felt weird to edit it because you could watch it live. So what's the point of making it clean? And now it's like, now I'm like 200 episodes in and I'm just like, oh yeah, I guess. I mean, somebody's going to spend time listening to me. I don't think they care if I go, or whatever the situation is.
No, definitely. I think when, like, if you edit something like too much as well, it can really throw people off. Like I tried to edit one of mine and it got less viewers than the one where I was just cracking jokes left, right and center because like the guy's mic was cutting off. So every time his mic cut off, I just meow because he couldn't hear me and I couldn't hear him. So every time he was gone, I just went meow. And he had no idea that I'd done it until after it went on YouTube. That was years ago. I don't know if that one's still up. But like, I just love doing stuff like that.
Well,
but yeah,
we got to get going because mainly I have another meeting here in a little bit. So cool, I'm going to give you a sweet wrap about everything we talked about. And again, I'm going to have to get you to come on one more time. So we can get Trade actually because he would have so many more questions. And again, we had to cut it short today. So I wish I could talk to you more. But you have so many more things. You have your poetry stuff. You have your stand-up comedy. You just did a show, right? You just did a bit.
I forgot to mention. I just did a fringe show. Sci-fi comedy fringe show where the audience, if they heckled me, got rubber balls thrown at their heads.
That is great.
Which I said were alien testicles that I stole from Area 51. And they were allowed to wear tinfoil hats for protection. It was great. It was absolutely wild. I'd love to do that again.
Yeah, but so yeah. I'll send you the calendar again, and you just pick a date, and we'll do it again. Because
let's do August 10th. Because
I think I'm open. So that'd be great. Because then
my new book will be out. Yeah, which isn't a sales pitch, viewers. There will be a freebie version. There will be like free samples if you like samples.
Awesome.
Nice and spicy.
All right,
bit
so
of the spice, bit of the comedy.
In this wrap, what do you want? Is there anything special you like?
I like Garfield.
All right, Garfield in there. You know what? I haven't done this in a while. All right, so it's Garfield. What's the storyline? I'm going to do a story song for you. Garfield
finds a time machine.
Finds a time machine, and?
And... becomes a pirate.
All right. Anything else? Any word randomly you want me to put in there?
Lemon.
All right. Here we go. Okay. Now, you know about Garfield and how he lives his life. All about that lasagna, he got a coupe but he tight. Oh, but one day he was chilling in the backyard. He doesn't really chill in the backyard, but John sent him that way and he went. He saw the time machine, he was like, now I'm bent. And then he got in that bad boy and started flying, looking for the things nobody, they were replying. But he's sipping on some lemonade, living that different day of different times that he never do it, what he ever say. Hey, but now he's in this different time. It's like the 1800s and he got to make it fine. Oh, but now he's on a ship. But now he gotta be. He found an eye patch in a pair of G. And now he's sitting like a pirate life. His name is Garfield. Yeah, the wooden leg. He gotta live it gone. He know that he be. He's hiding treasure everywhere with his lasagna G. He never go it gone. But now we see it all. Garfield's so amazing. He got to make the fall. It's like sitting here with Philip Carter. Now we be. He got some bionicles and a chicken burger G. I never knew what I was doing if it's all the same. And it's me getting home alone but my kid. Hey, I never get the time, only if I can't define. Writing crazy books, trying to blow people's minds, and use reviews that you're not supposed to use. But that's okay, cause I know what I came to do. It's never going to go, it's never gonna be. But Garfield's still being a pirate, yes siree. Like One Piece, me, I can do what I do. Only if I gotta breathe, cause I'm chilling the crew. You keep it right time, I find, define the rhymes be. But now we're looking for the rhyme speak. But guess so, now I guess it's so done. Now you gotta live like this, and that's the one. Hey.
That was awesome, man. Well done. It's just gonna be me clapping. It's gonna be slightly awkward, but you know, I feel like everybody else at home's doing the same thing.
It's okay.
That was sick.
But thank you so much for
being so sick.
This is literally what I do my entire day.
Yeah.
Just come up with silly things.
I've got a friend who does like battle rap, and he invited me to do battle rap the other week, and I was like,
"Oh, dude!
I'm gonna give it a go. I get to pre-write it, so I'm probably gonna be okay." But afterwards, he said, "Oh, you don't need to be nervous." I went, "Why?" And he went, "You're not performing. You can perform if you want. I was asking you to host it." And I went, "Oh, why do you think I'll be less nervous about that?"
That's even funnier. Like, you should host it, but then set the bit up where you actually battle him, or even bring out something that's even funnier, so that they destroy you. But all right. But I do have to go. So thank you, Philip, so much for being here. And again, I'm not playing. I'll send you a calendar right after this in an hour. And you pick that. We'll see if August 10th is available. If it isn't, I'll see if I can move it around. Trying to make that happen. But let's see what else. Thank you so much, guys. Make sure you like and subscribe. If you listen to the podcast on Spotify, come over, check us out on Mondays on Twitch and on Facebook and on YouTube. Watch us live. We'd love to have you talk to you and have you in the comments. Everybody must have took a break today, so you know it's what it is. And but I so much appreciate y'all. Make sure you go check out flowsforyou.com. If you're looking for a new website, go to nomadweb.design. They make good websites. They made ours and all that other stuff. Well, I hope you have an awesome day. Thank you so much, Philip. Make sure you check out Philip's book. Philip, where can they find your book?
Absolutely everywhere. You can look it up on whobuiltthehumans.com. Nice and simple.
There it is. And I will make sure I put that information on the Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. You check it out. Philip, thank you so much. Stay for a few seconds. But everybody Thanks else, have a great dude. And, oh, man, it's so fun to have a talk with you. I said, can't wait to have you on the show again when we even have more bits. And so it'll be great. And so, all right, guys, have a great night. See you next week. We have an awesome show. And hasta la pasta.
Are you looking for a different kind of podcast? How about informative and clean? It will make you laugh. Scout and Trey, yeah, that's what we do. We got a little funny thing, keeping it true. Hey, we take your topics and all your ideas and bring in a guest and we answer them there. Then we make a freestyle rap and do it for you. Yeah, that's what we do. Yeah, that's what we do. Yep. Flows for you, flows for you. This is what we do now. This is what we do. Say flows for you, flows for you. This is what we do now. This is what we do. Say flows for you, flows for you. This is what we do now. This is what we do. Say flows for you, flows for you.